It's a real joy to be able to come and preach the eternal, precious Word of God on the broadcast today. And I do hope that you will tell someone else about the ministry of Sermon and Song. Tell them the time that they can hear it on their station. And then that you would write and let us know that you're listening. That's an encouragement to our heart and helps us to keep going, knowing that you are listening and that you do care whether or not the program goes forward. We've been preaching for the last 3 weeks now over in the book of the Revelation. I hope that it has been an encouragement to your heart. It was my desire as I started in these messages to encourage you from the Word of God. We're living in a terrible day. We're living in an awful day. I don't have the words to express. I don't know the words to express the extent of the terrible conditions under which we are living. Oh yes, economically right now in America, we're doing great. We've got more food on our table and more shelter over our head and more automobiles to ride in and more pleasure to get involved in than any nation in the world has ever known. Many nations of the world are suffering. Many nations of the world are in revolution and war and famine and sorrow and that, but not here in America. But at least, I'm not talking about that. I say America is in bad shape. And the reason I say America is in bad shape is because America is wicked. America is wicked. Let's face it. We are not a Christian nation. Let's face it. America is not a Christian nation today. There's no way you could call this a Christian nation. Yes, we have churches on every corner, and we claim to have religious freedom. I can't understand how we can claim to have religious freedom, but you can't read the Bible in the school. You can't be a witness for Christ in the school. And you can't tell somebody else that you're a Christian in the school. You can tell them you're homosexual, but you can't tell them you're a Christian. You can tell them you belong to some cult, but you can't tell them you're a Christian in the school. And then somebody says this is a Christian nation? No way. No way you'd be stretching your imagination far beyond its limits for you to say this is a Christian nation. But I wanted to encourage you because I've read the last chapter of the book. I know what's going to come in the future. And knowing that, it causes me to lift up my head and look up and be ready when Jesus Christ comes again. First of all, for his saints, and then he comes back with his saints to set up a righteous kingdom. I've really enjoyed talking about this righteous kingdom because all the time I've been talking about this righteous kingdom and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again and about the wrath of God being poured out upon all ungodliness and knowing that it's his responsibility and not mine, I have been encouraged to just go ahead as long as God gives me the breath to do so and keep proclaiming the truth of the Word of God, keep proclaiming what God says, keep trying to witness for Christ and win souls to Jesus with every opportunity and go on waiting on him to come, for when he comes, he'll put things right. He'll put things right. You say, well, now the devil's powerful. Yes, he is, but he is not all-powerful. God is all-powerful, but the devil is not all-powerful. And so there's going to come an end to the power of Satan. There'll never come an end to the power of God, but there's going to come an end to the power of Satan. And I just wanted to read that to you today in chapter 20 in the book of the Revelation. Let's just read these verses. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And then he goes on to talk about the thrones in heaven. And then over in verse 10, he tells us after Satan has the opportunity to tempt those who have been born upon this earth during the thousand-year reign of Christ who have never been tempted by Satan because he's been in the bottomless pit. It tells us in verse 10, his final doom. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. So I am absolutely secure in knowing that the devil is not going to win. Oh, it looks like he's winning today. It sure does look bad, don't it, outside. It looks bad as we look around us, but we know where the victory is. Now let's just look at these verses and see what's going to happen to the devil. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. God's got an angel ready, prepared, waiting his opportunity to come. And he has the key to the bottomless pit. Now, you say, preacher, what is the bottomless pit? It's the bottomless pit. You say, but preacher, does that mean hell? No. If it meant hell, it would have said hell. Hades or hell, one, or Sheol, it doesn't mean any of those. It's the bottomless pit. You say, well, preacher, what is a bottomless pit? Well, anything that is round and you're on the inside of it, there's no bottom. That's all I know. Only way I know how to describe something that has no bottom. On the other hand, you might say that it just keeps on going down, 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 and there's no end to the going down. It seems more logical for me to believe that the bottomless pit is somewhere perhaps in the heart of this earth. I don't know that. I can't prove that. I just simply am making my own speculation there, I guess. But a bottomless pit would be one that would be round. And, of course, you know and I know that the center of this earth is a molten mass of fire. A molten mass of fire. Somewhere in the heart of this earth is Hades, the fire side of hell. The paradise side of hell, the good side, the restful side, the peaceful side, Abraham's bosom side, has been moved and taken to the third heaven. But the rest of Hades was not moved. The rest of the fire in hell was not moved, and the Bible refers to it as being down and in the heart of the earth, and we have enough scripture to lead us to believe that it's in the heart of this earth. That's Hades right now, hell burning right now, fire and brimstone right now, soul suffering, tormented in hell right now, in the heart of this earth. You say, well, what's the bottomless pit? It's a different place. I don't know where it is. I assume it's in the heart of this earth, but I don't know that. I just assume it. But at least it's a bottomless pit. The only person that ever goes there, so far as I can tell, is the devil himself. And that's his prison. That's where he will be cast into prison. And a great chain in his hand, that's the angel, has a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. Now, that's Satan. You see, the Lord's called many names in the Bible. We've given you some of those in this series of messages. And he's called many different names, many precious names. But now, the devil is given some other names, too. He was Lucifer, to begin with, an archangel of God. And then he became Satan, a rebeller against God. And now, he is called a dragon. A dragon. And he is called that old serpent. That has reference, I believe, back to when the serpent was taken over by, indwelt by, Satan and deceived Adam and Eve, or deceived Eve, rather, in the garden, and then she gave to Adam, and he ate of the fruit. So we have the serpent here. That's the devil. That's the devil, Satan, which is the devil and Satan. If you didn't believe what I just said, you've got to believe that. That old serpent and that old dragon, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Chained him up. And he couldn't break it. Now, Satan is powerful and next in power to God, I suppose. He's certainly more powerful than you are. He's more powerful than I am. But at the same time, he is not more powerful than God. And God's got a chain to hold him. I like that. God's got a chain to hold him. He can't go any further than that chain allows him. And he binds him up for 1,000 years. And then he says, now that's 1,000 years. You say, what does that mean? I think it means 1,000 years. I think I'm a literalist if it doesn't say as it were or like unto or such as or some such phrase. If it doesn't have that in it, then it means what it says, 1,000 years. Now, what 1,000 years is that? That's the same 1,000 years that we are enjoying the rulership, the leadership, the kingship of Jesus Christ upon this earth. This earth at that time will not have been destroyed. We will be living on this earth for 1,000 years, enjoying the presence of God, the theocracy with Jesus Christ at the head, nobody ruling in any province or any county or any state or any community, no one ruling but Jesus Christ himself. Now, while that's going on here on the earth, Satan is going to be bound with a chain in the bottomless pit, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Now, that means shut up the bottomless pit, but I tell you, it sure does sound good to me just to think that the devil's going to be shut up. He can't talk anymore. He can't talk to us. He cannot tempt us anymore. The people on the earth, he will not be allowed to tempt them. He will not be allowed, nor any of his angels or demons will be allowed to tempt them anymore. You say, but people will be on the earth in the flesh, and they'll still have the old nature. Yes, and they will be tempted to sin, but not by Satan, not by demons. They'll be tempted by their own flesh. By their own flesh. Frankly, that's what does most of your temptation. You think you're pretty important, I guess, if you think the devil's going to take some time to tempt you. If you think the devil's going to take out, see, he can't be everywhere at the same time. And if you think the devil's going to take time out to just spend time with you and you alone at any given time, then you think you're a pretty important person. He's got many demons that can do that, but he's got a greater ally than that. He's got your flesh. Your flesh that was sold out, that Adam sold out in the Garden of Eden. Your flesh that is bent to sin. Your flesh that is filled with temptation. Your flesh that is filled with desire and the lust of desire and the desire of lust. Your flesh that is filled with everything that is evil and ungodly. You have it in your flesh. That's you. That's me. That's everybody. We have in our bodies a desire and a bent to sinning. That's exactly what's built into us. And you say, but you get rid of that when you get saved. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You don't get rid of it. You don't get rid of it. You just simply get the Holy Spirit, the divine nature of Christ, to help you fight it. You don't get rid of it. You're in a battle. From the time you're born again until the rapture of the church, or either you're dead, you are fighting a battle against the flesh. Your three main enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world from the outside, the flesh from the inside, and the devil, who's in control of all of the evil thoughts and the evil doings upon this earth. Now, he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. That's it, old boy. You're done. You're through. I've allowed you as far as I'm going to allow you to go. You've reached the end of your chain. You cannot deceive the nations anymore. Now, the flesh will bring temptation of sin to those who are on the earth in the flesh, but not by Satan himself. All right? Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. In other words, that's a set time of punishment for Satan that must be fulfilled. It's the same length of time that Jesus is going to rule from the throne of his father David over this earth. Then after that, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth, the Bible says. And this earth will be no more. Some say it will just be renovated by fire. I'm not going to argue that point. The Bible says a new heaven and a new earth. But Jesus rules on this earth. Satan is probably in the heart of this earth, in the bottomless pit, in torment, in chains, can't deceive the nations anymore. He's not loose. He's not free. His demons probably are with him, and the flesh is the only thing that can bring temptation during the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth. But he's only going to be there 1,000 years. It says, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, why must be loosed? He must be loosed because these people who are born during the millennial kingdom of Christ, though they are tempted by the flesh and they want to do their own thing by the flesh, there'll be some who will rebel against God. And at the battle of Gog and Magog, there'll be a great army that will rise up against God, against Christ. And that's because Satan is turned loose to gather an army. Now, up and through these 1,000 years, he couldn't gather an army. Through these 1,000 years, he couldn't get forces together to fight against God. But then when he is released from the bottomless pit, then he's going to come back to earth. Then he's going to gather an army to fight against God. And he's going to be loosed for a little season. You know, that little season says something. It means to me that it won't take him long to do it. It won't take him long. This old flesh is so rotten. This old flesh is so corrupt until it will not take the devil very long to gather a great army to fight against the Lord God. Now, he said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, when the 1,000 years are expired, verse 7, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, that's a repetition, and there's no repetition in the Bible that is not important. That's a repetition. He said, and when the 1,000 years are expired, when they're over, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Can you imagine in a short season he'll be able to get a great army that cannot be numbered because the sands of the sea cannot be numbered? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the saints, the camp of the saints about. Now, of course, that's where Jesus rules, in Jerusalem, and the beloved city, which is Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They've already been in the fire of brimstone of the lake of fire. That's a different place. That is not Hades. That is not the bottomless pit. That is a different place. Where is that, preacher? I don't know. I really don't know. You say, well, how come you don't know? Because the Bible doesn't tell me. That's why I don't know. There's one thing I've learned through the years, and I learned it the hard way in the early years of my ministry. Just don't make a bunch of rash statements that the Bible don't make, and you'll come out a lot better. You see, the beast and the false prophet are already there, and the devil shall be tormented. The beast and the false prophet has already been tormented for 1,000 years there. Shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. And so there you have it. There you have what's going to happen to the devil. So don't fret. Don't worry. You know who's going to win. Jesus is going to win. You just better be on his side. Trust him as your Savior. Trust him as your Lord. And let him give you the eternal life that he alone can give. And then you will not be seeing this except seeing it from the standpoint of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be a part of the devil's program, but a part of God's program. How do I get it? By faith. That's the only way. You can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ by faith, by trusting Jesus as your Savior. If you need help along that line, write. I've got a book that I can send you called Born Again, and it'll tell you exactly how you can be saved, and you'd best not take any chances. You'd better be saved right now.